We're learning from those parables of Jesus how to live life to its fullest. A parable is a simple story that teaches a moral or a spiritual lesson. It's a simple story that illustrates a moral or a spiritual lesson. Jesus said that he taught using parables intentionally so that the people hungry for God's kingdom, the people who are hungry for that revelation of God, would understand it. They would receive it. It would go deep into their spirits. It would be planted deeply, and it would grow and bear fruit. And the people who really could care less, they heard a cute little story, and they moved on, completely unchanged. This week, we're going through a few parables that Jesus taught us about the importance of little things. So we're going to, if you want to get ahead of me, turn to Matthew chapter 13 so we can read through those. But, you know, sometimes in our lives, we get so caught up on the sense and the feeling of being insignificant, the things that we do, the lives that we live, wondering if they really matter, wondering if we even really matter to God. When we read about the incredible miracles of Jesus and of the early church, you know, when we read about the feats and the heroics of the great men and women of faith in the Old Testament, you know, who faced impossible obstacles and yet they overcame them all. You know, it's awesome to read those things. They build your faith, they encourage you. But sometimes the enemy can kind of whisper in your ear and make you feel like things you're doing really don't matter. You know, that you're wasting your time, you're wasting your life. And, you know, it's easy to read through those testimonies and sometimes even interpret those as just fables or stories that grew, you know, like the fishing stories that grow over time, you know. Every time you hear that story or hunting stories, you know, there's always something new that you never heard before, right? It always grows an extra inch. It always, you know, a couple extra points, a couple inches spread bigger, you know. And you start wondering, you know, are those just old tales that just grew, you know, with time? Well, we know that's not true. You know, that the Word of God is reliable, that things happen exactly as they did. And I love it. The Bible, for that very reason, made sure that when God recorded His Word and the events of history, He didn't just record those awesome things that they did. They recorded their failures. They recorded their emotions, how they struggled in areas, how they got angry, how they got depressed and discouraged. You know, the Bible is sure to record everything about the lives of those people so that we don't just see the pinnacle of their mountain, the highest point in their life, and think that that's who they were. We see the struggle leading up to that point. We see the raw, authentic faith that they had leading up to that. Because we read those things, then we find ourselves kind of busily going about our daily routines, you know, overwhelmed with some of the struggles that we face, and we begin to question our own faith. You know, am I missing out on a greater purpose that God's calling me to? Is there something better I could be doing with my life? Because, to be honest, we're not happy with the lives that we're living. We're not happy with the hand that we were dealt. You know, it gets frustrating. And because the Bible records those things, it gives us hope that their story didn't end back when they failed. Their story didn't end back when they were struggling in their faith. God trusted them. God persevered through them. God saw them through those things, and He used those things to grow their faith. He used those things as sort of stepping stones to get ultimately where He was leading them. You know, so it kind of gives us hope and encouragement in the midst of our struggles. When I read back through those testimonies, I firmly believe that most of those individuals, they didn't think their lives were all that great. They didn't think they were really doing anything all that great for God. I don't believe that they did those things intending to be written in the Word of God, you know, to be remembered forever. We tend to think about that, but in reality, they were just living their lives, and God did something awesome. They weren't doing it for fame, but they became famous. I mean, think about some of these people. Mary, right? The one that gave birth to Jesus and was entrusted to be the mother of the Son of God. You know, pretty tall task for a girl of 15, 16 years of age, you know, unmarried. What she confessed to be was just a humble servant of God. David, he was just out tending the sheep on the day he was anointed king over all of Israel. Esther, she was just a poor orphan girl who was exalted as queen just because of her beauty and, well, to keep it G-rated, as the Bible puts it, because of her lovely figure. She was chosen to be queen over, and she was there, as the Bible says, just for a time as this. She didn't even do anything. She was just herself, and God put her in that place and in that time. to save her people. Joseph, right? I mean, he was left for dead. He was sold into slavery. I have yet to have a day that's that bad. You know, I still have yet to have a day that's that bad. And he was falsely imprisoned. And yet, in the end of his story, he became second in command over all of Israel, saving not only Egypt, but also, or I'm sorry, of Egypt, not only saving Egypt, but saving his family who would become the nation of Israel. Like, you know, God just, he works things together for good. And we love to quote that, we love to remember it, but we don't always feel it. Sometimes our lives get so discouraged and so frustrating, and we just feel so insignificant, like we're not doing anything for God. We feel like we could be doing so many great things, and yet our lives hinder us somehow. But that's not how God sees things. God sees these things and even allows some of these things to work together to build our faith and to encourage us. Today we're going to learn just how incredibly impactful and how tremendously great the little things are to Jesus. And even before we read there, I got to go into this, you know, because in our culture, in the culture around us, we often don't value little things. We just don't, you know? My kids don't want to go get the penny candy at Gardner's. They want the peanut butter melt-aways, you know? I mean, come on, right? You know? I don't want that little fake piece of fruit that's just full of sugar. I want something good, you know? We don't value little things in life very much. Or more importantly, I guess, more accurately, let me say it that way, more accurately, we mislabel what the important things are. We mislabel what the valuable things are. What we consider to be great, often, what we consider to be little and insignificant, God often labels as to be great. Get my words together here. Think about this. Consider this example, okay? The CEO of a company, most people consider that to be the pinnacle of success, you know, that you've arrived somewhere in life. You've got an awesome salary. People look up to you. They do whatever you say, you know, a valuable and significant position in any business. At the same time, and in that same business, the janitor is thought to be of somebody of little ambition, you know, didn't really get anywhere in life, kind of wasting their time. You look down on that position, right? You know, anybody, train any monkey to come in and do that job, right? You know, we look down on that. We consider that job to be unimportant in that same business. In reality, however, think about this. Let's say that the CEO decides not to do his job for a month, takes an entire month and does nothing in that business. I doubt that he would really be missed. A lot of people don't even know who the CEO is of their company. They've never met them face to face. The business would continue on. All those gears in the company, all those positions, they just keep doing their job, and you wouldn't notice anything at all. Take the janitors out of the equation. Tell them not to do their job for an entire month. I'm telling you, every stinking person in that building would know that they weren't there, that they weren't doing their jobs. It would be noticed, right? Anybody who comes near that building would see the trash building up, and there's dirt all over, and you know, nothing's getting done, right? So perspective. You know, what we often consider to be little and invaluable, man, God doesn't see it that way. He sees those things as important, critically important. And because of this cultural perspective that we have of success and importance and greatness and value, it often causes us, as Marie kind of shared prophetically this morning, to not value the good things that God's doing, to not see the victories that Jesus just gave you, and to not celebrate them because we just don't see them as all that important. But God does. God does. To celebrate the little things in life. They're the significant things. You know, things such as small talk, right? You go to pick up your mail and you just do some, you know, idle chit-chat with the postmaster. You know, it's a big thing. The smile that you give to her mom when she's trying to wrangle her kids together and, you know, get them all rounded up and out to the car, you know, when you're out shopping. That simple thank you to your coworker, you know, for just doing their job. Just give them a, you know, quick thank you. Thank them for what they're doing. Maybe someone you know is having a rough time, you just text them a quick hello, right? You know, those are very, very little things. But those little things can radically transform a person's life. You know, last night during worship practice, Marie shared a testimony about a boy who was considering suicide. And he kind of said in his mind and his heart that if there's one person that smiles at me today, you know, I won't do it. Of course, he was expecting, I'm sure, that nobody would. But one kid did. Smiled at him, was friendly to him, and started building a relationship with him. And that kid learned later that he had saved his life with that simple smile. You never know what's happening in the lives of people around us. The event yesterday, Footprints in the Park, you may not have felt like you were doing anything, just standing there talking to people. You have no idea the impact you may have made just because you took time to serve somebody and care about them and talk to them and show them they're important, right? Isn't that our vision for New Hope this year? That everyone matters to God. And those little things are what reveal that truth, that you do matter. I'm going to take time out of my day just to talk to you and see how you're doing. And even if I can't solve anything for you, even if all that I can say is, man, that sucks. We can also pray for them, right, and expect God to do great things. But sometimes people just need that. They just need a listening ear, and that's enough, right? It can radically transform things. Think about God's creation itself. You know, we drive through a puddle, and we just keep on cruising. We're busy in our everyday life. You know, we don't think anything of it. But if you've ever taken a microscope and looked at just one drop of that puddle, there's a whole new world in there. You know, just one, there's a whole new world, teeming of life, bustling around, you know. You may have just been on your way and smashed that puddle, you know, and maybe had a little bit of fun with it. I know there's water alongside the road I like to do with my kids, you know, get the wave going, you know. It's fun. My wife tells me to grow up, but I think it's fun, you know. But you just radically transformed the entire world, the entire life of that little, like, protozoa or algae or arthropod or all those other little microscopic creatures, that fungi and algae, you know, radically transformed their lives. Can you imagine that? All of a sudden you're like, whoo, you're going through the air, you know? No idea what's happening to you. Anyways, it's funny, but it's true, right? Jesus gave us these parables. I'm going to get to the point. And these are found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, these same parables. So that kind of tells you how important they are. 75% of the Gospels include these few little verses about little things. Starting in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, says, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of the garden plants. It becomes a tree so that the birds can come and perch in its branches. And he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. If you guys have ever seen 60 pounds of flour, that's a lot of flour. And you ever see that little, like, Fletchman's packet of yeast? Tiny little things. But they work their way all through that flour. It makes some pretty tasty bread, too, by the way, right? Good stuff. Little things make a tremendous difference. And that's no different for you in your life. The little things that you do are incredibly impactful, incredible potential. And we should never look down on the little things in life. We should never become too busy with the things that we consider to be of utmost importance that we neglect the little things that Jesus calls us to do. Little things like gathering together for church, right? It's a little thing. It takes a couple hours, you know? Yeah, you get busy in life and there's far more, you feel, important things you could be doing with your time, but God doesn't see them as that. He sees it important that we come together, that we talk with each other, that we pray, that we learn about Him, you know? He sees it as important, and He encourages us not to forsake that. Because given the right conditions, that Jesus gave us that parable of the mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds can become one of the greatest garden plants, serve as a life-sustaining guardian, protecting the birds that come to find safety and refuge there. People might ignore such a plant. We drive through past plants all the time here in Western Pennsylvania. You don't really give much thought to what all is out there, you know? We may not stop to take notice of the wildlife that exists out there, but we know that Jesus does, right? His eye is on the sparrow. I know He watches me, right? He knows the number of hairs on our head. He holds the tears that we cry. Little things that we don't even know. Little things that we don't even notice. Yet He cares about them. And He takes care of them. Remember, He gives us the life example, the object lesson of the birds, you know, that they don't have barns to store up their food, yet they don't go hungry. You don't see starving birds out in our backyard, do you? No. They're fine. God takes care of them. And then Jesus kind of ends that with, how much more does He care about you? If He cares that much about the sparrow. Because you see, that tree doesn't run around kind of taken captive, caging up the birds. You know, you see that in cartoons, but you don't see that in real life. They don't go around caging up and protecting birds. All of that tree does, it simply is itself. It grows, it stretches out its branches, and it just hangs out there in the sunshine, and in the rain, and in the wind, and in the sun. It just hangs out there. And the next thing you know, birds take note of it, and they come, and they find flock, and they find refuge there. It's a powerful analogy. God has called us just to be us. He said that people will ask you the reason for the hope within you. He said people will see your love for one another, and they'll see Him. In fact, that's how they will know. The world will know that we're His disciples. Just to be yourself. Just to be yourself. That tree simply reaches its full potential that it was created to become, and that's what God wants of us. To reach your full potential. To fulfill your unique calling, your unique purpose that He created you for. That's the most important thing that you could ever possibly do in this life. You know, think about yeast. I don't know if anybody's ever ran their own little microbrewery. Anybody ever tried to brew anything? Or maybe you left some, you know, grape juice in the fridge too long and you accidentally made wine. You know, anybody? I know cider. Cider is a bad one for me, you know. If I forget about it, yeah, it hardens, you know. It's not always a bad thing necessarily. But yeast, it is so tiny, microscopic, yet it grows incredibly fast. I mean, exponentially fast. In just one little milliliter of space, hundreds of millions of yeast cells can thrive and grow. It's crazy. If you've ever seen, if you remember those graduated cylinders and, you know, maybe back in high school, you know, 1 milliliter is pretty tiny. Little tiny little area of space, yet hundreds of millions of yeast cells can grow there. Think about this. If 11 disciples, 11 common ordinary men, can begin a worldwide movement to influence billions of people across the globe for centuries, literally lasting until Jesus returns again, let's not look down on our lives. I don't think that they lived their lives as disciples thinking that that's what they were going to do, that that was what was in their heart or mind. Yet that's what God used them to do, to start a worldwide movement. Think about that. Tiny, insignificant, but not in the eyes of God. That little yeast, it doesn't need to do much to multiply, to work its way all through that flour, does it? No, it just needs the right conditions, and it'll grow and it'll do its thing. You give it just the right temperature, a little bit of heat, a little bit of moisture, and it just takes off. It's kind of cool watching dough rise because of that, you know, as the yeast, you know, it's just amazing. In that same way, if we just do the little things that God created us to do, then our influence will exponentially increase as well. You don't need to intentionally go and do that. You just need to do what God's calling you to do, be who God's calling you to be, and your influence will spread just like that yeast. Everywhere you go, it'll reach. Jesus taught us that the kingdom of God is like that mustard seed and yeast. In fact, He reminded His disciples later, right, that if they had faith just the size of a mustard seed, that nothing would be impossible for them. Remember, He used that same analogy again, dealing with the boy that they couldn't deliver from the demon. We should never despise the little things in life. Never despise them. Never look down on them. In fact, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 calls us not to despise small beginnings, or in other translations, he says, the days of small beginnings, because the eyes of the Lord sees them and rejoices in them. You see, we think that God is just concerned about the big things. God's just concerned. Whenever it comes to the church, God's only concerned about big events that we go and do. He's just worried about big outreach events, and that's just what we need to be doing. He's just worried about men's ministry and women's ministry and children's ministry and ministry. What God cares about is, are you ministering? It doesn't matter whether we have the ministry here or not. Are you ministering to men? Are you ministering to women? Are you ministering to kids? Are you ministering to your spouse? Are you ministering to college-age kids, you know? You don't need an established ministry in the church to do those things. Just do them. Just be who God's calling you to be. Wherever you're at, whoever you're around, just minister to them, which literally just means serve them. Serve their needs. That's fulfilling your purpose and your calling in life. You see, Jesus goes through this whole list of little things in a parable that He gave in Matthew 25. And you've probably heard it a trillion times, so I'm not going to quote it. But Jesus tells us that little things such as giving someone a glass of water, little things like showing hospitality to a stranger, inviting them in, little things like visiting someone who's sick or visiting someone who's in prison, little things like feeding the hungry, clothing the poor. He goes on and on with this list. He teaches us that our eternal destination hinges on those little things, not on the big things. Not, Jesus never lists, did you reach 1,000 people for Christ? Did they make a decision to follow me because of you? No, he said, did you give someone a glass of water when they're thirsty? Did you clothe them when they needed some food, when they were poor? Did you give them some food? When they were in prison, did you go and visit them? When they were sick, did you go and see them? These little things. He literally says that the little things that we do, either for or the little things that we choose to be too busy with to do, we choose not to do them because we got better things to do, he takes them personally. He said, you did those for me. You either did them for me and you get to rejoice with me in heaven, or you chose to be too busy to do those things for me and you're headed where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and eternal torment. I mean, those are the words of Jesus. The little things are important to him. Those are the big things. Those are the big things of ministry. Coming here and growing in your faith, that's a big thing to Jesus. It's not a little thing. Encouraging other people, that's a big thing to him. That quick phone call for 5 minutes and no one else knows about but you and that person you talk to, Jesus sees it. That little thing is a big thing to him. Huge. You know, think about this analogy with again, not only the little things, but also being who you're called to be, unique, an individual, a unique calling. A razor blade. It's entirely sharp, right? Very, very sharp, very easy to cut, yet it can't cut down a tree. An axe, right? Powerful. Take down any size tree with it, right? Yet it can't cut a single hair on your head, a strand of hair. Actually tried it with my hatchet just out of curiosity. I'm like, seriously? Doesn't matter how hard I pounded on that thing or anything, that hair was a little bent. That's the most that sharp, sharp hatchet, brand new hatchet, could do to that piece of hair, you know? Some guys may challenge me on that, go out there and sharpen your blades and show me otherwise, but think about that, though. If that razor blade spends its entire life worrying that it can't cut down a tree, doing everything it can to become big enough to cut down that tree, it's wasting its life, isn't it? Right? Just do what you're called to do. Just be who you're called to be. Don't try to live out someone else's calling in life. Live out yours. Even though other people may not value it, other people may not think it's important, it doesn't matter. To Jesus, it's the most important thing you could be doing. If you're going into a nursing home and just sitting down and talking to those people that have lost their minds and having fun because they think you're their son, you know, and next day you're a clown and the next day you're, you know. No one else knows you're doing those things but that person and Jesus. And that's okay because you're transforming that person's life and you're doing what Jesus called you to do. That's the greatest thing you could ever do with your life if that's what you're called to do. The greatest thing. I'm telling you. As the Word of God just told us here in Zechariah 4:10, those small things, those small beginnings, God rejoices over those things. You just caused Jesus to jump off his throne and do a little touchdown party dance, you know, and I'm not going to do one because I can't. But you caused him to rejoice. It's significant, and it's the greatest thing you could ever do, even if it's little in the eyes of the world. And I want to tell you, even if it's little in the eyes of the church, okay, they're the ones that need the perspective change, not you. Live out what God's calling you to. Whether it's traveling the world and leading hundreds of thousands of people to faith in him, or whether it's just keeping a school clean and in working order so the kids in our community got a place to go to learn. Whether it's just raising one single child not to be a jerk and to treat people with respect. That is the greatest calling. And I'm telling you, later the world will thank you for it, right? Because you treated someone, you know, with respect. The little things that Jesus calls us to do are everything. And you've heard this a bunch of times too, but I just encourage you, memorize this and take it to heart. The next time you feel insignificant, the next time you get frustrated because you're tired of just doing the same things over and over and over, and you feel like your life is being wasted, remember this. Colossians 3:23 to 24. And in proper context, Paul is writing to slaves. To slaves serving their masters. Because a lot of slaves, when they received Jesus as their Savior, they wanted out of there. I'm a free man. Paul said something very, very, very contradictory to what our culture would ever teach. It rubs people the wrong way. Paul told those slaves, no, 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 no. Wherever you were when God called you, wherever you were when God called you, you stay there and you be that best whatever. You be that best baker. You be that best slave. You just go above and beyond. And this is the context here in Colossians 3:23. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as you're working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. That's the word of God right there. So when you're working for that jerk teacher or that boss that just gives you a rough time and you're just frustrated and you just want to bail and get out of there, I'm not saying you're not supposed to, but take time and pray about it and think about it and consider these verses. Consider these verses. Whatever little thing you find yourself doing, do it with all your heart. Do it with excellence. When people don't believe in you, prove them wrong. When people think you're not good enough or you can't do it, prove them wrong. Do it with all your heart. Do it with everything you've got. Because after all, it is Jesus you're serving, and Jesus deserves our very best. Jesus doesn't deserve our leftovers. Jesus doesn't deserve to be put last on our agenda if we have time and if nothing else comes up. Jesus deserves to be first and foremost. And it will require a cost. It will require a sacrifice. Hello? Who set the example? He made a little tiny sacrifice for you, right? Just tiny sacrifice. Doesn't he deserve it? And what I love is the testimony after testimony after testimony that people give with the second part of, won't he honor it? Won't he honor it? When you do what God calls you to do, he honors his word. And he honors you as a result. He will, as the word of God teaches us, he will promote you at just the right time. And most of you guys know my secular work testimony of that, you know, of working for a boss who was taking credit for everything that I was doing, getting called into HR of, hey, slacker, what's your problem? You know, you're not getting a raise this year. You need to really step it up, and letting Jesus be my defender. And truth comes to light. And literally my salary doubled that same year. I got moved to a different position. Company apologized. But man, was it hard to grit and bear it for those, I think, 4 or 5 years, you know, that I did that, you know. So you can ask Becky, living testimony of at just the right time. If you have that mindset that, you know what, it's not this person and it's not these circumstances, it's Jesus I'm serving. And Jesus sees everything. Jesus knows everything. He is my defender. He is the one that takes vengeance. You just leave it in his hands at just the right time. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of things. It's just who he is. It's just what he loves to do. So, the next time you're feeling overwhelmed, the next time you feel like you're wasting your life, when you feel so little and insignificant in the things that you're doing, take heart. I want you to just feel Jesus put his arm around you because he's right there with you and for you. And what you're doing is incredibly important to him. What you are doing is serving him, and he sees it, and he knows it, and he will richly reward it. And so I just want to encourage you too, you know, and please forgive the church if we've kind of set that mindset and whatnot, that there are some things that are important you can do for God and other things that really don't matter. Everything you do for Jesus is significant. Everything. And so we need you. We need you here. We need you serving, because that's where God's calling you to be. Not because it's needed, but because that's what you've been created to do. All right, so let's just close in prayer. Jesus, we thank you so much for caring about the little things in our lives. And we're asking you, Jesus, to change our mindset, to change our attitudes in alignment with yours. That those little things are not insignificant. That my uniqueness isn't my downfall when it was a uniqueness created by you. So Jesus, help me to find my identity in you. Help me to do the little things with excellence, with all my heart, with everything I got, knowing that it's you I'm serving, knowing that it's you I'm honoring, and knowing that it is you who are blessed and who rejoice in it. And eventually it is you who will promote me and reward me for the little things. Thank you, Jesus, so much in your name. Amen.